you might touch a consumer in the B2B world 20, 30 times before they make a buying decision. And we know influencer marketing is part of that.
Hello, everyone. A new week, a new episode of the Influence Factor by the Influencer Marketing Factory. With me today, we have a new guest, Ryan Bars, influencer and content experience team at IBM. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, how is your week so far? How are you?
I'm great. The week is busy. We're kicking off Q4 here, so work is ramping up as we head to the last few months of the year. So it's been an exciting time, but it's also a busy time.
I absolutely hear you. Q4, especially for people that works in marketing, it's always exciting, but a bit also tiring, right? Because you have all the holidays, you have to spend the budgets. There are people that are trying to rush things, you know. So I completely understand, yeah, you know, so it's exciting, but also a lot, right?
Yes, for sure.
Amazing. But so for the audience today, can you just tell a bit more about yourself, you know, who you are, what is your background, you know, how did you get also in the influencer and social, you know, content industry?
Yeah, so I've graduated from college and kind of took a path that maybe a lot of people take where they, I was into agency life. So I worked in an agency, a digital agency for a couple years. And then that led me to some work that interested me in Austin, Texas. So I moved to Austin about 10 years ago. And most recently, I'm currently at IBM, but prior to that, I was at Google and I was doing some influencer work for a program within Google Maps. So there was a community of users of Maps, Google Maps, and we were trying to get more content from them to update local places, to provide reviews on local places, the stars. And so that got my first sort of taste into influencer marketing because we were leveraging like local tastemakers and influencers to kind of be at our events and showcase some of the cool things that you could do as a creator in that time, like taking pictures of your food or taking great pictures of a restaurant or whatever. And then my manager at Google came to IBM and my kind of brought me along with her a few months later. And we had this idea of like, there needs to be formalized like influencer marketing program within the IBM company. So that was about 2016. And it's just been kind of snowballing from there. It's been a great ride, but it was sort of organically happened. It was just through the different roles. I didn't think influencer marketing, and at that time was really, especially in B2B, was really a significant opportunity for a career. But here we are a few years later, and it's definitely full, both feet in the deep end here as we try to make some really great content and partnerships with some really smart and interesting people on social.
Love to hear that. When you said about also Google Maps, I do actually remember because I was, you know, back in the days playing around with, you know, embedding the maps, you were able to save different items and you were able to share. And I feel that still we see sometimes like a little badges here and there about, you know, views that you got, or like, thank you for be a contributor of these, you know, area. So that was cool.
If you have a little orange badge, that was something that I was on the team. You got rewarded for the amount of reviews you did or edits to maps and the quality of those. So were they long form reviews? And yeah, it all kind of created this community of people that are really obsessed with providing updates and reviews on local places. And it's a really cool program and it's still around today. And I still review places on my Google Maps account. So I'm still invested.
It makes sense. I mean, like people love to have gamification and everything, right? So you want to, you know, even like, you know, Quora and other website, you can all the time that you give an answer that is useful for the others. And what is like fantastic, it is that these people do it for free mostly. Like, I mean, of course you can pay influencers, but a lot of people, they do that because they are generally loving to give to the community, right? Something that could be a picture, could be a video. So that is fantastic. Have you ever, have you ever seen any trends in that, like in the years? Have you seen anything changing in the community side for Google or now working for IBM when it comes to giving to the community online?
I will say when I got started in this space, it was a little bit easier to incentivize people to partner with you through access to events or access to a subject matter expert. Nowadays, it leans a little bit more into the pay to play, and it's less of their side hustle and just something they like to do because they're a really big fan of your brand. And it's more of their primary source of income a lot of times. So it has shifted a little bit into the need. And I can see the reason. You're creating content there. You would do the same thing as any other vendor, anyone else you work with to help create content in partnership with you. You're going to pay them. So I can see the need for that. But yeah, it's definitely shifted from, you still have those folks that just want to provide brand. They just love your brand and they're fans of the brand and they'll do things, whatever they can just for a something. But in B2B, it's a little bit harder to give them a tangible thing. Since the stuff we're providing and the services are much bigger.
No. And you know, now that you said about, you know, the B2B, right? So I wanted to ask you, because the other guest that, you know, we had so far, it was either, you know, creator content platforms or, you know, influencer marketing solutions and reporters. We always talk about B2C, right? Because the B2C influencer marketing is the well known to the public, right? But then there is the B2B. And first of all, are you now working with IBM mostly on the B2B side or the B2C?
All B2B. We, the IBM brand has very little direct-to-consumer products. There are some, but yeah, most of it is that B2B environment.
So like, you know, because it's B2B, right? And I do believe that a lot of people still don't know what is B2B influencer marketing, right? There is still a lot of confusion sometimes, unclarity and so on. Apart from, of course, you know, the common sense of the B2B and B2C distinctions, right, that everyone in marketing knows, right? Mm-hmm. So the business to business compared to the business to consumer. But what are, in your opinion, the main differences, and also how do you approach a B2B influencer marketing campaign opposed to a B2C campaign?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest differences that I see when just thinking about the way the two sort of B2C and B2B would work is the goals and the objectives of what you're trying to do. So some assumptions I might make around consumer influencer marketing, the B2C route, is that someone could make a purchasing decision with a couple clicks of their thumb, right? Directly from their phone. And in the B2B world, we know that influencer marketing is just one touch that someone's going to potentially go through to make a purchasing decision, because the budget they need is much higher. You're not going to make an impulse decision purchase. You're making a purchase based on the priorities of your business, which takes into a lot of things into account. So you might touch a consumer in the B2B world 20, 30 times before they make a buying decision. And we know influencer marketing is part of that. So for me, influencer marketing in the B2B world is around thought leadership. It's around content creation in support of what those main themes are for your brand or your company. I don't expect an influencer to know the ins and outs of some of the products that we might be selling at IBM, because they're complex and because they just naturally wouldn't know the ins and outs, but they could talk about some of the high arching topics, right? They could talk about artificial intelligence. They can talk about cloud. They can talk about sustainability, but they might not be able to talk about the actual product but we don't need them to either. We have our IBMers to do that. We have analysts that can help us do that. So I think it's, whereas a consumer side, you could find a creator or an influencer that can say, I have this t-shirt at home, or I have this thing, this makeup line, and this is what I like about it. And so you should buy it. So it's a little bit different in that regards. I think it's, and different platforms, right? Like, I think there's a lot of tactics you can use based on the platform of choice. And those reach different audiences, and that can definitely play into your B2B and B2C routes.
Yeah, because that I wanted to ask you, because, you know, again, people know about the B2C, they know about Instagram, they know about TikTok, they know about YouTube, right? Now it's YouTube Shorts, and then you have Instagram Reels, and you have mostly vertical videos, short form content, where maybe it might be a bit difficult sometimes to plug in something that is B2B oriented, because as you just said, you know, sometimes it's not one of those impulse buy, right? It's something that where you need more knowledge about it. You have to think about it two times, three times, even more, right? Before doing a purchase like that. And you also want to give more information out. You know, you cannot just say, hey, look at these shoes. Like, you know, this seems cool. Go buy. You know, like now we're talking about something that is more, you know, for professionals, it's B2B. So first of all, where are and which one are the platforms that are working well? Is it just LinkedIn? What about YouTube integrations? Any luck on TikTok for B2B? Is there some place that you are trying to avoid because it doesn't work? Or can you do a mix in your marketing plans?
It really kind of, for me, depends a lot on your objectives of the campaign. And personally, I think we see a lot of success in the LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube as platforms initially. LinkedIn brings its own challenges because it's, you know, data is hard to capture from the platform. Twitter's great, but those things fleet and they're gone in a few seconds. And YouTube's a great partner of ours, and we love working with creators on that platform because of just the integration it has with Google and just the longevity of the platform. But to answer your question around like TikTok and Instagram, I think there's a huge opportunity there for B2B brands to be on those platforms. And we're dabbling a little bit. We're kind of exploring what that might look like. Because while the demographics of that platform are heavily, you know, 25 and under and Gen Z, and so those individuals probably aren't making a purchasing decision for a B2B tech company in our instance, but there are a lot of people that go there to learn. It's not just the crazy dances. There's a lot of that, but there is a whole area of tech talk, right? And we can fascinate and educate audiences on topics around that developers might find interesting or students might find interesting. And I think that just builds our relevance in the market around those topics. And it doesn't always have to be a direct to the C-suite person, right? We have to make content that's native to the platform. So I'm excited about where we can go with those platforms. And I do think that's going to be a big trend for B2B companies is to be some of the first on those. There's not a lot of brands today that I think are even exploring TikTok just because it is, can be relatively new to a lot of brands and can be sometimes a space that makes you unsure. So I'm excited about what brands are going to do, especially in the B2B space on those platforms, because I think there's a lot of opportunity.
Absolutely makes sense. And when you look for someone, let's say, you know, that you say this person can work well on LinkedIn, you know, they have a specific maybe demographics, they have a good engagement and so on. Are you also looking to cross promote, like if they also have like Twitter and YouTube? So like, is that something for you that it is important that they can cross promote, or depending on the social media, you prefer to identify certain LinkedIn influencers? And then apart from that, someone else that is going to be maybe, you know, big or engaging, you know, and having a good influence on others on Twitter and then others. So is it more silos for you, or you prefer to finding someone that can help you, you know, support on different places at the same time?
I think for me, in my experience, it's around the audience. So and by that, it's like, who's in their audience? Is that group of people that we're interested in? And what is the engagement from that audience when they're talking about a topic that we are interested in talking about? So I personally love if a piece of content can be repurposed in an intentional way across different platforms, because, you know, we're being asked to do more with less a lot of times. So if an influencer or a creator or a thought leader can create a piece of content that is great for LinkedIn, and that might be a blog or an article, or and then can they repurpose that in some way to Twitter, where it might be a quick video that gets people interested because they're, you know, they're scrolling much, much faster and the audience is a little bit different there. And then can you take that to a different platform TikTok or Instagram, or and then if you have the if they have the built-in audience there, can they do something on those platforms that also? So it's like taking your hero asset and switching it up a little bit based on the platform, the nuances of the platform, and what that like how the audience consumes the content there. I think is a big win when you can get that to happen. It's not always that easy, but I think that's a big win.
Yeah, because exactly that was one of the questions I wanted to ask you, because I also listened to another interview where you talk about mm-hmm. repurposed content, right? And you just mentioned that now. But one thing that many marketers are saying, especially people that started maybe on TikTok, so they know TikTok very well, and others that started on YouTube, so they know YouTube very well, you know, and others on Instagram. So they have these really, you know, sort of narrow knowledge about the one specific. And all of them, they say one thing that I do agree with. Each social media, it's a different medium, of course, right? Mm-hmm. And therefore, you should have a different tone of voice, a different format, and so on. So I understand, of course, right? It's easier. And also, we do it as an agency sometimes, right, to repurpose certain content. Because once you have that, you can, as you just said, do a blog post. You can create a Canva image. You can do a little video. You can do something with. How can you, though, being able to repurpose content but avoiding to be off, you know? Because something that works on Instagram might not work on TikTok. So is there a way for you, have you find a way to repurpose content without being, you know, without, you know, not getting like, you know, the right, you know, like demographics, the right tone of voice, the right characters for each of them?
Yeah, I've personally have failed a lot in this, right? We do understand, I think your point is exactly right around each. There's many social platforms, and you know we're just talking about a few of them. You know, there's others out there that can be great too, like Reddit. And there's just things where I don't think there's a perfect, in my experience, a perfect sort of way to do it. But for me, it always comes down to what is right for that platform? Because I don't expect that you're going to have a blog and try to put that on Twitter and get a ton of engagement as you might on LinkedIn, where people are going there to consume some of that longer form content. And they're building that platform around sort of being that destination for that. And then you might go to Instagram and like, can I create like a visual element for this blog? Like you mentioned Canva, that is native and built and optimized for that platform. And so you still have your hero piece of content, but you're creating a couple derivatives from it. But it, again, to my, I think earlier point was it's all around the audience. So if someone has a LinkedIn audience and follower and growth and engagement, but it's not there on other channels, then we're not going to cross promote, right? We're not just trying to spam the audience. We want to be respectful to people on social in a lot of ways. And by doing that, it's providing value. And we don't think just because you created something for LinkedIn as a B2B influencer, you need to go put that on every other channel that exists, because that just becomes, I don't think we're like good citizens in that way when it comes to people's feeds. So I think it's an interesting topic of how do you not lose sort of your tone and different characteristics for these different platforms. But if the audience is built in, that's where I lean into it. It's all about the audience and how they typically react to when that person's posting content about that topic or product or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And since you're not saying that, you know, of course the person that posts it is, you know, it's big, you know, impactful, like, you know, differences between being someone that can have influence and some others that might just create content, right? And I saw that you on LinkedIn, you shared, I think a few months ago, a survey, if I'm correct, it was maybe from Fast Company, I think, mm-hmm. about terminology differences between creators and influencers, right? For people that don't know about these, but we saw it changing, right? The terminology sometimes, in my opinion, in the wrong way, because they were like used without really thinking about, you know, the meaning behind that. Certain social media start saying, we don't want to call them any more influencers, we want to call them creators. Mm-hmm. And some others were like, yeah, but actually that's two distinct people. So in your opinion, first of all, are they two different type of personas? And if so, what are the main differences? And also why we should, in case, separate them when we call them with different names?
Yeah, I do think that they're different. And I do think, just as for me, the term influencer has really become a little watered down, and mm-hmm. it's definitely used with Creator interchangeably, but I do think they have distinct personas. And we use Thought Leader a lot too when we're talking about people we work with, because while they might not want to consider themselves an influencer, because sometimes it is puts a bad taste in some people's mouth when they're like, oh, you're an, so they Thought Leader is a little bit more of a term that they like, because they're, you know, generating thought leadership, sort of high level conversation. But to answer your question, so an influencer for me is like typically someone who wants to convince like their audience to buy something, and which as a result, like driving sales, in that like very quick impulse moment. Whereas, and this is like, this could be like videos, it could be photos, really quick, like simple things. And they're really a brand. Like the influencer really finds themselves, like they are the brand, they are the person. And a creator is someone that produces content that entertains and educates their audience, in my opinion. And that might look a little bit different. It might include video and photo, but it might also include a podcast, or some other like piece of a complete marketing mix. And it's less about the creator and it's more about the information that they're putting out there for their audience, because they just are attached to it and they feel passionate about it. Whereas an influencer might just kind of be turning out a bunch of different things because they have a large audience.
Interesting. Yeah, about the top leadership, I think it's important, especially in the B2B, right? And I do mm-hmm. agree with you. Maybe some, especially professionals, might not be called in a certain way because, you know, there is this stigma sometimes, right, about certain personality online, and they don't want to. This reminds me when back in the days, people didn't want to say, I am a YouTuber, because nowadays it's cool, you know, to be like, yeah. I am a YouTuber, because they live in mansions in Los Angeles, you know, but at the time, like, what do you do for a living? They were like coming out with any answer, but I am a YouTuber, because it wasn't that cool, you know, back in the days.
Now there's a whole generation now of people that want to be YouTubers, and like, that's, you know, they think it's more glamorous than it probably is a lot of times, but those YouTube creators do a lot of hard work.
Oh, absolutely. There is a lot, and we should do like an episode just about what is behind, you know, like a 10 minutes video on YouTube. We're going to invite some YouTubers, you know, to tell us the secrets, you know, behind this scene. But so, you know, we said that, you know, creators, influencers, tough leadership, leaders, sorry. And, you know, in China, it's key opinion leaders. And nowadays we have key opinion consumers and so on. So mm-hmm. a lot of buzzwords, a lot of new terminologies. In your opinion, how influencer marketing in the social media industry changed, I would say, in the last 5 years? What are the things that either shocked you the most or excited you the most that when you saw them changing in the bad and in the, you know, in the good? What was those things that you saw it even shifting that maybe you didn't saw it coming, or maybe that you really wanted to see changing in the years?
Yeah, I think in the last 5 years, what I've seen change, and I kind of mentioned at the beginning of there, it was a lot harder to identify thought leaders, influencers in the space. I mean, I was doing this over spreadsheets and like Twitter searches, and it just was a little bit harder. And I think we've evolved in the last 5 years of there being a ton of vendors out there, a ton of agencies that are helping brands, whether B2B, B2C, kind of incorporate influencer marketing into their marketing teams, into their plans, because of just how much attention is on it today. I've also seen, you know, I mentioned too, like those influencers that are people we were working with at the beginning are personally just were just there because they love the brand. They just wanted to, like, we didn't have, you know, maybe budget to spend, or there just wasn't, and they were cool. They were just like, let's do it. Nowadays, it's a little bit harder to find those individuals because it is becomes, you know, a commodity for a lot of influencers and creators and thought leaders and whatever the key opinion, whatever the term you want to use. They're doing this as a source of income. And so that's it, which has turned the brands into being able to like fund that stuff and be thinking ahead of it and putting into their plans for future quarters to be able to like leverage influencers through funding, which is important because they are, you know, creating marketing content in partnership with you. So it's changed. And I mean, I think you can probably feel it too, even in the last year or so, just the amount of attention it's gotten from press and media on how companies are investing more money into this and investing more time and like having an actual person with a title that has like influencer marketing in it. Like that, you know, marketing in this influencer space isn't brand new, but on social media, it's obviously evolved a lot in the last few years. So I think those are some of the big changes I've seen over the last 5 years or so.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, before it was all if you were working in the industry, and then, you know, mass media opened up to everyone, right? Mm-hmm. To every Joe that was just there. They didn't even know about, you know, like influencers, and still some, I don't know about like your friends, but if they're not in the industry, they still are amazed by the quantity of like dollar amount, right? That is in the industry. Like, oh, these people are paid this much for this.
Yeah, that is. I mean, we joke a little bit, and I do see it on social media too. It's like, I'm on the wrong side of this, what some people are making. and I don't want to discredit, like they do a lot of hard work and they're hustling, and they deserve a lot of it. But yes, some people and influencers or creators do make a lot of money. You see like those headlines of someone makes $750,000 for a TikTok video or whatever. And that's crazy. But yeah, my friends in my personal circle are still like, wow, there's someone that you do influencer marketing. So they assume I play on social media all day, but there's a lot that goes into it. Being on the brand side, but
Or when you say the term influencer, they think you are the influencer, right? So they ask you like, maybe, I don't know if it ever happened to you, but some people working in this are like, oh, so you do the social media posts, you know?
I have gotten that before too. It's like, someone I like meet somebody out or whatever, and they see my LinkedIn or other profiles, and they're like, oh, so you are an influencer. I'm like, no, I just help work with them. That's not me. I'm not smart enough to be an influencer in this tech space, that's for sure.
So this is what happened in the past 5 years, but what is, in your opinion, the first of all, the future of influencer marketing, just like as a broader term, but especially in the B2B, since you are working in the B2B space, so what do you think that, first of all, is missing in terms of either technological gaps or cultural differences between maybe the US, Europe, China, and what also excites you? What do you want to see in the B2B influencer marketing happening in the next 1-3 years?
Yeah, I think what I would love to see, and I think what we're getting to, is a little bit more transparency into the industry. We were talking about payments and sort of rates and fees, and it is very much a wild, wild west, in my opinion, on what a creator feels their worth and what a brand might feel the worth is. And sometimes those are very far apart. So I think that there are marketplaces out there. There's been a bunch of marketplaces for consumer influencers, the B2C influencers. There are a few in the B2B space that have popped up over the last couple of years that are helping, I think, with that transparency challenge of sometimes they see, oh, brand, I can get a bunch of money from that brand, right? Because of just they make some assumptions there. So I do think that there's more work to be done in that standardization when it comes to rates and even like performance data. Like what are the metrics we want and care about as a brand? Those vary based on campaigns, and I realize that, but a lot of times we rely on the creator influencer to provide those results because it's living on their channels, and sometimes that can be a little bit of a challenge of a thing to receive from them. I'm also back to the conversation earlier, it's around adoption of platforms outside of LinkedIn for B2B, right? So I think there is a huge gap on TikTok and maybe even Instagram, which are very highly engaged channels, but in the mind switch you have to have in the B2B marketing space is it is very hard. Think about your own like natural behaviors to be on TikTok and click from TikTok off of a video or a comment and go to a web page to learn more. Like that, I don't think is a natural behavior for a lot of people. So we have to do a really great job in the B2B space to make sure that we know, like, we're building community, we're building engagement, we're building awareness on a platform. And it, that's the primary goal. The secondary goal might be to get them to get the viewer to learn more and click off. But that's a very hard ask. It's a very big ask. And that's a lot of times B2B work is getting them to click to learn more and like read a blog or watch a video or so that's a big challenge. And I think what I'm really excited about, and I don't even know if this would fit into the B2B space, but you know, a trend I'm seeing lately is sort of these collaborations with the celebrity. So an example that I, you know, seen recently is Hilary Duff with Carter's, the kids clothing store. So she's their chief mom officer, and she collaborates with them on a whole like design label and products for, you know, kids. And it's not a thing that lasts forever, but it's sort of that. And I've seen that again with like a Spike Seltzer had an actress kind of doing some collabs with them. And I don't think collabs are new, but I think this whole idea of them being like a member of the brand, like on the brand team is a little bit, and I'm sure like Kim Kardashian has done this before too with others. So obviously I'm listing some really big celebrities that don't typically probably have a lot to say within the B2B space, but I think that's an interesting sort of tactic or trend is this collaboration with a well-known individual and how they can bring their taste to the brand by designing a clothing line or creating a flavor for a drink. And sometimes I think they hit, sometimes they feel a little bit strange, but I think that could be an interesting sort of thing for brands in the B2B space to take notice of.
Absolutely. Really insightful. I do agree with you. This has been mostly in the B2C, as you correctly said, you know, could be drinks, you know, coffee is a big one. Beauty and makeup is a big one because of course it's easier to get to your audience than usually to consumer, but might be interesting to look into the B2B as well. To give also that personal touch and that, you know, thing that is, some people maybe want less corporate sometimes, right? And certain maybe like, you know, companies want to have that middle person, right? That can be, go to, you know, still B2B, right? But with that personal touch, right? And be like, trust me, right? As an influencer, as a content creator, as a tough leader that can be that, you know, sort of like, you know, driving, right? The traffic that is sometimes difficult, right? As you said, yeah. Learn more might be a bit challenging sometimes. But okay, to start wrapping up, anything that you're reading or watching that you want to share with the audience, anything that could be also not just about your work, but it's something that I usually ask at the end.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm a fairly new father of a 10-month-old. So I...
Congratulations.
Thank you. I can't really share a lot of like super exciting stuff. So what I do catch on TV, it might be like a Netflix series or, you know, I'm obsessed with sort of the challenges. So the Great British Bake Off and those types, like making the cut on those types of shows. So not that exciting, but that's where I'm at in my life right now is trying to capture some content that's not super heavy in my limited free time.
You need it sometimes, right? You know, because if not, like sometimes I find myself that I go on Netflix and maybe I watch documentaries maybe about, you know, sometimes about things happening in social media market. I'm like, I'm working still now, you know, on Netflix.
I even feel like that sometimes when I go on the social media apps in my own personal time, it's like, I'm always kind of like thinking of, oh, how could we partner with this person? Or is, you know, I get a lot of stuff through my connections on LinkedIn. You know, you've referenced a couple of things that I've shared and I do the same thing for other folks. And that's what I love about the platform is I can kind of get served up topical things or articles. And so I capture most of the professional things there on that platform, but definitely leverage the others for my personal stuff. But I'm always trying to think of like, how can the brand or leverage this way or take inspiration. I love that too, is like trying to see what other brands might be doing in even in the B2C space, there's a lot of things that we could do for inspiration there.
Totally. Yeah. You need to go outside of your box, right? In order to understand and getting inspiration from something else, because if not, you are just in the boundaries and it doesn't help, right, for creativity. So it makes absolutely sense. Ryan, thank you so much for joining me today. It was really a pleasure to especially getting more about the B2B. Not many people can talk about the B2B influencer myself. We need more people, you know, to share about this.
I thank you for having me. And thank you for the opportunity to talk a little bit about my experience in B2B influencer marketing. It's, as you mentioned, like a relatively newish discipline in a lot of places. And I think it's going to continue to grow because there is just a lot of need for it. And we know people trust people and the brand follows. And so if we can get the right people to help talk about topics that we care about as a brand, then that only just helps us expand our reach and new audiences. So I appreciate the time and the thoughtful questions.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Ryan. This was the Influence Factor, but the Influencer Marketing Factory, and I'll see you in the next episode.